Welcome to another episode of the New York Comedy Club podcast brought to you by Paper House Network. I am your host, Nick Angelo, joined by Amy Hawthorne. Amy, how are you doing?
I'm okay. How are you?
I'm okay. This was a take seven we just tried with the intro because our guest is Kevin Dombrowski, and every time he's around, we just can't get our shit together.
That's so fair. That's 100% fair.
We're on a Zoom call, and we have a 40-minute time limit because none of us have the money to get a pro Zoom account, and we've wasted 10 minutes just trying to get through the intro, and I don't know. Maybe it's because Amy's currently wearing a turkey hat on her head.
Maybe.
And it's throwing
me off. I didn't know we were supposed to dress up for this. I apologize.
Yeah, well, I ran out of hats because we were
for this or not, but we'll see.
Because I forget if it was the Pinch podcast or we had a meeting Zoom we had for the office. But I have a couple of hats and I just put a hat on and I was like, I guess I wear hats on Zoom now. But I also only own like 3 hats, so
I love that. That's
we're down to the turkey.
That's 1/3 of your collection. Right there.
I mean, it was a gift. I didn't purchase this turkey hat for myself.
You know, I love you, but it doesn't make it any better.
You look like Mr. Bean in the Mr. Bean Christmas episode when he gets the turkey stuck on his head.
Oh my God. I do.
You're actually like one step away from being Joey Tribbiani at Thanksgiving dinner.
So Kevin, how are you, buddy? I mean, I think that's how every podcast starts now, is how are you? How are you feeling? What's going on?
Yeah, I like the radio voice that we've added over the Zoom feature. So Kevin, tell us on B98.5, how are you doing? I'm good, man. This is, you know, I'm relegated to this room because my wife is working from home. So this is the only thing that I've done in this quarantine. I've gotten a mic and headphones. They're not even plugged in. I don't have the budget for that. But they look good on podcasts, so I'm hanging in. I'm really one step away from killing myself. But how are you?
Well, concerned now. Geez.
No, I'm good. I'm all right.
Yeah, man, it's been tough. I will say this. This is week 6 now, and I will say that my mental health, for a lack of a better word, is fragile.
I think that you have to sigh like that when you think of what week it is. That's the only way to you went. I think it's week 6 of the quarantine. That's the only way to say it.
Yeah, man, it's been eye opening to realize how just on edge and just crushingly depressed I can get for no reason. And it's just like, holy smokes, this is
I know,
rough.
That's like the irony of the whole thing too, is you know, like, we're all very busy people who have to work more than 40 hours a week to make ends meet in this industry and right. Do side projects and all that kind of stuff. And like, in my mind, I was always like, oh, wouldn't it be great if I could just actually take a couple weeks off? Like, no matter what, you know, like, you can never really take time off. It doesn't matter how far away you go and what you turn off. You never get. And now I'm like, no, thank you.
Yeah, but you know what? Like our minds, how they work to work in this business, the day that we can go back, you're going to want to be like, I just need one more day at home.
<That's true. laughs>
Just to, like, relax. And Nick, I'm concerned with you being in a stadium with all those people. You don't have an automatic weapon on you, do you?
No, I do not. For those who are listening, Kevin is referring to my Zoom background, as it is a beautiful sunny day at PNC Park in Pittsburgh, watching the good old Buccos lose a baseball game.
You sound like a play-by-play announcer.
I can't decide if that's like beautifully aspirational or actually makes me even more concerned for your mental well-being.
Yeah, that's it. That's really the case, is I can't tell if I'm doing things because it makes me happy or I am just on a slippery slope that I'm not going to come back from. So,
you know what you look like,
folks?
You know what you look like with that picture? And I love how the mic just disappears in the background too. That's my favorite thing. Mm-hmm. I guess you guys are going to release this on YouTube. You look like an incel that came to a baseball game for the first time, but you're not facing the actual game. So you don't know the correct way to be around other people right now.
Oh my God.
This visual is the funniest fucking thing I've ever seen.
Yeah, it's if this was real life, I would be facing the hot dog cart right now. Yeah,
this is what happens right before the video goes viral of why you did it.
Oh my god.
Oh, it's so fucking funny.
Well, you know, in real life though, there wouldn't be that many people at PNC Park.
Fair.
So I'd have to wait until football season.
Now I just like to think about Nick like going down a real Google image search rabbit hole where he's like, nope, not enough people, none of people, not a happy enough picture. Oh my god, how many years do I have to go back to find this park full?
Yeah, I can't wait until you find the background with the FBI raiding out your apartment after this podcast.
Yeah, I know. That's great. I'm already, my paranoia has already gone through another roof. The last two episodes we've done, I've had Dave Cyrus and Richie Redding on, and we've both went conspiracy theories. One and the other were two drastically different points of view. And I'm thinking, like, you know what? If anyone is listening, I'm going to pull it with them. Conspiracy theories.
You are on a list somewhere, man.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, definitely.
I'm already kicked off Facebook because I know too much.
Oh my, because you know too much. See, all you had to say was kicked off Facebook and people would have been on your side. The second it's because I know too much, that's when you lose half the crowd right there.
I mean, the actual reason why is because I posted videos for the clubs on Facebook of comedians performing on The Late Show, Stephen Colbert. Mm. And CBS was not a fan of that, and they reported me, and they kicked me off Facebook. That's actually why. But
I did it
for you guys. my Facebook for you.
Yeah. Ironically, now we're back to the video confession. I did this for you guys. I did this for you.
This is going to be awful.
Oh, man. I'm going to try to edit this together out of context and just make Nick's manifesto. Oh, my God.
Do you see me now?
Oh, just all I want people to do is listen to me, you know?
Oh, God.
This is awful.
Oh, my God. Not to, like, bring up someone who's totally not here, but Reg, the manager at our club, is delighting me. I mean, like, we all know Reg is very sweet and sometimes kind of dumb. and he's been delighting me on our staff chat on a regular basis with just saying crazy dumb shit. And the other day, I don't even remember what was the virus conspiracy thing. Oh, it was that, like, the virus was engineered in a lab and here's the patent number for it and all that kind of stuff. And he just goes, there's information out there, guys. And I was like, yeah, you know what else there's information out there on? That the earth is flat. But that doesn't mean that's true.
I was at a...
I think he was trying to quote the X-Files, but just got it wrong.
I was at a restaurant with my wife one time, Molly. It's so weird why I just don't say Molly at this point. Anyone that knows me knows who my wife
is. Also,
it's
the name of your album. It's not really private anymore.
Correct. So we were at a restaurant and she was trying to prove to me that aliens are real, which is like a battle that we have constantly. She so believes it. And I'm like, you are such a realistic person about everything, but you think aliens exist. And we were going back and forth. I go, we're alone. This is it. There's nothing else here. And then she screamed, we are not alone, which is not the way to look normal in a restaurant when you're having that conversation. I was like, we're taking everything to go now. We're not doing this.
Was everyone looking at you and you just go, I'll have what she's having.
Yeah. I actually, I said, check, please. And then I took my face off. I took my mask off and I neuralized everyone.
Well, I like the fact that we have Kevin on the podcast because the last time we had Kevin on, which wasn't too long ago, we couldn't release the episode because of certain circumstances. And now we're probably not going to be able to release this episode because I'm going to be wanted by the FBI and Kevin's going to be abducted by aliens.
I dig this. We're on the dark web now. We're running our own series. This is like the dark episodes.
Let's just get into it.
Yeah. Years for now, from now, when we're at your memorial, we'll play both these episodes.
in an underground memorial that no one's invited to.
it's just a bunch of...
Kevin, there's not going to be a memorial. They'll never acknowledge he's dead. He'll just...
Right. Right, right, right. Yeah, yeah, but all of your followers are going to wear turkey hats now. It's going to be uncomfortable.
Yeah, instead of the tinfoil hats, it's turkey hats.
My favorite thing still, maybe there's tinfoil inside of it. My favorite thing is still on the last episode. You were like, I don't get how every episode is so, you comics are so depressed. I don't get how every episode is sad. And then I'm on this time and you're just like, I'm barely hanging on by a thread.
Which also I think happened on the last one too.
It did. It really did.
I think on the last episode, I did have like an epic freak out about celebrity deaths.
Yeah, that's and right. That's
just,
what it was.
I just started talking and I just went wild.
Yeah, and then the entire hour ended up on the editing floor.
Yeah. Yeah, like, yeah, okay, we really nope, cut that out. Do we want to bring that up? Do we want to talk about it or do you want to just like through it? No? I'm trying to push the emphasis on the somebody else now. I don't want everyone to remember.
Let's just say it was weird timing. And we'll leave it at that.
Yeah, it was very inopportune for certain comedians in the world.
Not me, by the way.
It wasn't Kevin. Kevin was great.
I was fucking ready to roll, baby.
Kevin was clean as a whistle.
Yeah. The funny thing, we should clarify a little bit though, is the episode wasn't racy or like it wasn't like, oh my god, we shouldn't release it. It just came out at a time where things were a little bit out of control that we couldn't control. So we just thought, you know what, let's just not release it. Why add fuel to the fire? We'll just get Kevin back on.
Right. Let's just say what it is. We created coronavirus during the episode.
That's exactly what happened. And that is now why I'm paranoid and am worried about the FBI, because we created the coronavirus. Mm-hmm. But what we did talk about was the upcoming release of your album, which now has been released.
Way in the past.
So you recorded your album like 5 years ago.
It feels like it at this point.
And you were very slow to, I mean, that was in, it took you so long to edit that. And that was in pre-pandemic time. Do you know what I mean? Like,
Yeah. I think you were about to take a drink, Amy. Amy is, and you know what? I said this episode, last episode. And so I'll reiterate it so people actually hear it. Amy is, I would say, on and off stage, but on stage, probably my closest confidant in the industry. We talk quite a bit. We've got a blooming personal friendship, but in terms of the business, Amy quite frequently talks me off numerous ledges. It's almost like I jump off one onto another. while she's talking. So Amy was incredibly privy to the whole process of from the birth of the album and wanting to record it to aligning it, getting everything all set with the label and the club, and then the editing process where you want to see on a ledge, you should see me edit an album. It is holy shit. There's no words to describe except for the fact that Molly used to come home in between me editing music or editing jokes, and I would literally be on the balcony of our apartment chain smoking cigars with like a fleece flannel over me, looking, I look like Jenny on heroin from Forrest Gump about to jump off the balcony. And every day, it wasn't even high. She would walk in and go, are you okay? That's literally 6 months of the editing process.
Well, it's finally come out. You finally did release it, and
I did.
How has the reception been? Have you?
Dude, I gotta tell you, man, I'm overwhelmed with it. I can't believe I'm saying it was all worth it. it's
Kevin,
insane.
You're learning to say positive things about yourself. I know, it's so crazy. Exciting.
Well, this is what happens when I'm not around other people. I have a lot of time to reflect. No, it's been great, man. So I released it March 20th. So this week is actually a month out. So it's a fun week to be on. And some of the numbers, it debuted top five on iTunes, which is awesome. Reached number one twice, which is a real fun thing to do. What did we do? We're at around 10,000 streams and downloads. Of the album, and for someone who's never done anything but this podcast, that's numerous times at this point. It's pretty good numbers, man. I'm happy with it, and honestly, most importantly, it literally all positive feedback. across the board. And trust me, I've been looking for the negative things because I've been saying it to myself too. But to have people, you know, friends and strangers and everything, message me off the album and tell me how much they're enjoying it and like quote certain jokes and tell me what their favorite parts are and why they like it is, it's overwhelming because I didn't think anyone was going to listen to it. So the fact that all of that is there, it's a plus, man. I'm happy.
Well, that's good, man. Congratulations on that. Thanks, buddy. That's good news to hear. I was going to bring up the fact that maybe if you would have took just another month to edit, you would have gotten even more praise, but you know, I didn't want to bring in that point.
Here's the thing is that, the only more praise I could have gotten is if the last episode was out, the week that the album came out. It released on the week that we went into quarantine.
Yeah.
Because that Thursday was supposed to be the 19th. We were supposed to do a release party at the club. And then, that Sunday was, I think, our last time at the club.
Yep.
So it got canceled. So we did a virtual release, which was a complete shit show. But super
too many
fun.
People in your small space.
I know.
It made me so anxious the whole time. I was like, too many people. You're all too close to each other.
I know. I had my sister-in-law, my brother-in-law was there. Gino came over. This is before we all knew about not shaking hands and wearing masks. So we had Gino Visconti over, which was a fun time. And Amy was like, where are you going to stream it? Like, what's the website? And I was like, every website. So I set up a giant computer. I taped my phone to the side of it. And then I had an iPad. And I just had all of my social media. And I was just going back and forth to everything. So it was a complete shit show. But it was honestly fun. It was more fun because no one had to leave wherever they were hanging out that night to go to a different place. Everyone could just like come in and hang. And there was a lot of alcohol. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you that.
Gino was there. So of course,
exactly. Yeah. We had nothing to do with it. There was no celebration of the actual album. It was basically just drinking on the night it came out, which is, let's be real, that's what a release show with me would have been anyway. It just would have been comedy. Separately from the album, buy it if you want, but let's have some shots at the bar.
He's Steve Lippman.
And she's Candy Clare.
And together we
figure it out. Join us as we take on life's unanswered
or overly answered questions.
Our guests include comedians, healers, environmentalists, bake-off contestants,
and some nonsense from our beloved intern, Dine.
You can send us questions and hear them answered live on the podcast.
A new episode every other Wednesday on Paper House Network.
Well, once again, that's great. Do you think that the quarantine has helped, perhaps?
Yes, I do. Yes. People are forced to find entertainment. So I've literally forced society's hand into listening into my stand-up. This never would have happened if you could have gone for a drive or a walk.
Then our plan of creating the coronavirus on the last episode.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Exactly. Really worked out.
I'm going to start selling those turkey hats as merch when we're, when we're back.
Yeah, can we get a logo on that?
Yeah, I should, actually.
That's your department, Nick.
Well, that's Kev, that's great, man. I'm so happy for you. I mean, I listened to the album and I think it's great. But you know,
thanks,
I'm a fan of yours, so it's like, you know, yeah. I mean, I think it's great. Of course, I do. But I think it's really good. I think the fact that it came out in this time of the world,
right,
helps. But I wouldn't make that be like your. You know, that's not the reason why people like it. I think
No. I know that. I get it. Look, I put a lot of work into it, and it's so funny. I just wish I could be a comic that's just like, this annoys me. Here's everything about this, but I'm just best when I'm myself, and I've learned that. So that's why I'm a good host, is because I'm just being myself, having fun on stage. Or when I do stand up, it might be. Using the world or something else to cross check or prove or make it more palatable for people to understand my life in worldly situations. I can use that as an analogy, but I'm always just going to be the guy that talks about what his life is. And I've just learned that through, I mean, now a decade of doing this. So I stopped. I was worried that people would get tired of throughout the album, because it is a story. It plays, it's a stand-up album, but it also plays almost like a one-man show, where it's like, it starts off, excuse me, with my wife and I getting engaged, and then it moves into us being married, and then it arcs from the marriage to the honeymoon to what I've learned within the few months of being married that I recorded it. So it's a definite story. There's no question about it. There's one common theme, and then there's just chaos happening around it that I used to tell the story with. So I was a little afraid that people would be like, we get it, you're married, or oh, you like your wife, and oh, you fight in the next show, crazy. You know, but the more I'm hearing from people, what I'm happy with is people think that I do love my wife when they hear this album. Because I hear it in the tone that the jokes were written, and a lot of them were written in anger and frustration. So when I hear it, I can hear me being mad at her about this fight that we had that still some of them aren't resolved. We brought one of them up. There's a joke about how my wife buys my mom a card for her birthday and signs her name first instead of mine, even though it's my mother. And it's this, it turned into a great bit, but the argument is not resolved. Like it's been my mom's birthday again since the album has been recorded, and she did it again, and we really honestly fought about the exact same thing the fucking joke is written about. So some of these are not resolved at all, and I still hear it, and I'm still fucking angry about the fight that we had like 2 years ago that we keep having. So I hear it in whatever tone it is, but what I'm really happy with is that people hear it, and the main feedback is, number one, it's relatable. Number two, it's funny. And then number three, they can hear how I feel about my life. And the fact that everyone's like, man, you seem really happy, or you're enjoying this, and it's a great way of talking about it, is the most meaningful to me. I really didn't expect people to get as deep as they've gotten with it. I was just hoping that they would laugh, to be honest, at the material. And the fact that I guess what I wanted out of it got translated is, for me, that's the coolest fucking thing.
Well, you said something, and I think the reason why it was such a success and people are enjoying it is because, as you said, you are yourself.
Right.
And I don't want to kind of dissect that a little bit, because if anyone,
yeah, you wouldn't want to, because I'll be in that ballpark next.
If anyone's listening who is a young comic who just started, or just a fan who doesn't really know, you know, the ins and outs of what it takes to be a stand-up comic, that sentence sounds very obvious. Like, oh, you go up on stage and be yourself. Well, duh. But I don't think people understand how hard that is. And I kind of want to dive into that. And Amy, I know, you know, you're the booker. You see a ton of younger comics as they, you know, come up through the years. And like, that's what it is. You when you're ready to actually start being a professional comic every night of the week, it's when you become yourself. And I kind of want to get into that. I mean, am I wrong? Am I right? I mean, isn't that? I mean, that's kind of what it is. Find your voice. Be yourself. And how hard that actually is.
Amy, you want to take the first swing at that?
Sure. I was like, oh, you beat me to it. No, I mean, yeah, Nick is right. I think that, you know, so much of the first few years of learning to do comedy is learning the mechanics of it, of like, what is the structure of a joke, and then how do you put jokes together into a set? And during a lot of that time, you're doing what I call play school jokes. So they're jokes that are probably very similar to jokes other people in your peer group are doing right now. You're all if you go to a couple open mics in the span of a week, you'll hear 20 versions of the same, you know, paper straws thing. You know, Kevin knows I've got my 5 minutes of hack at all times. But that's also not, if you're new, it's not hack. It's what you have to do. It's the motions you go through to get there. And then, not everyone gets to this point, but at some point you get the mechanics down well enough where exactly your persona, your voice shines through and it's unique. And like, that is when I do auditions, that's one of my check boxes, which is, you know, could I give these jokes to anybody else on this show and would they do as well? Or do you need to be the person telling this joke?
Yeah, that's a great point. I feel like for me, one through like zero through five, we're just learning how to make people laugh on purpose. And you know, it's like a puppet master of like, here it is, here's the joke, and now you go. And then I would say five through seven, I started writing some real jokes, actual material. And then seven through 10 was more about me figuring out myself on stage, kind of what makes me tick, and learning. God, I've had every conversation with this about Amy in the last 5 years about like not only being confident, but knowing why you're funny, knowing why something isn't funny is the best, and just allowing yourself to I don't know, be who you are. It's not so fucking pretentious saying that. Here's the best thing that I tell like younger comics is stop pretending to be a comic on stage. Stop yes. doing whatever version you think you should be doing and just be yourself. Because when you pretend to be this professional comic that doesn't want to talk about the day job, or like if you stutter on stage or something weird happens, you speed past it and ignore it because it's like, I can't break the illusion of the show. When in reality, if a 6-foot wooden pallet is keeping you in your head from being above anyone else in that room, you're probably not being honest with yourself. You know what I mean? You're so afraid of not being viewed as a professional comedian or a professional quality comic that you just put on this act of like, here's the show, this is the stage, this happens for comedy when I'm off, it's me, and it's too much. The most direct route, and I'm not saying joke formula-wise or structure-wise, but the most direct route to getting laughs is just being real. Just be who you are as a comic, and you figure that out along the way. And a lot of my biggest fear, I was like 4 years in, and I read an article where Judd Apatow quit comedy because he was afraid that he didn't have enough of a voice. And he had already been doing TV and all this shit. And it got in my head for years where I was like, who am I as a comic? And it just doesn't happen like that. You just have to literally perform until you figure it out for yourself. And then you just stop giving a fuck. And that's when the real hue comes out. Yeah. When you're like, I'm so tired of saying, repetitive shit. Or it's like, you know what? When you can fart on stage and say, I just farted on stage, that's, you know what I mean? When you're just not, you don't care anymore. You just don't give a fuck. And I think for me, the second I got out of my head of like, man, I really hope people don't think all I talk about is this and this and this. And I realized it's like, nah, I just talk about what my life is. In the album, my marriage dominated my life for 2 years. And that's the album span. I wrote it in 2 30-minute spans on the road. So it was like, of course, that's what the album's going to be, and that's what my life's going to be about. And the second, I think I said this on one of the episodes that I was on, whichever one got released, I think I said that the second I was done telling the story and I wanted to move on, that's when I decided, okay, this is a body of work that I want to put out. It's good, it's funny, it's cohesive, it makes sense. And it's not like my marriage defines who I am as a comic. It's my life defines who I am as a comic. And this is just the starting off point that I felt good enough putting out there that I could be like, no matter what, at the end of the day, I put an hour out that like I'm proud of and it makes sense and it's funny. So I'm good with that being my introduction. I think I start the album with that. I start it with some speech about like most comics like to have, you know, an introduction as to like who they are and blah, 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 blah. I don't really remember anything before this time in my life. I certainly wasn't a fucking human. So how could I be a good comic? So this is, it's kind of the jumping off point. But that's really what I learned in like the whole process. And whatever the next step of my life is, that's when, you know, that'll dominate the next hour, I guess.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up. When you recorded this, did you retire those jokes? Did you start working on the next hour?
I had jokes already going that weren't about this. That's why I was like, I got to record this and get this out there because I got to fucking talk about something else, or I'm going to go, Jesus Christ, this is all you fucking talk about. I had stuff.
I feel like you had like maybe about 20 new minutes by the time you recorded the album.
Yes. Yeah. I had about 20 and, or you know what? I had like 15 that I left off that I worked up with the quality of it, but I didn't think it worked within the album. So I left that off and I updated a lot of that after it came out. And then I think between the album release and now, there's like a new 30 to 40 that I would say I could, if I wanted to, put something together, record and put it out there. But for me, it's like it's not cohesive enough yet to do that. So I want to figure out kind of where the second half of that goes.
Well, how have you been writing new material since being locked in that little room? I mean, how much material do you have? How much do you think is going to actually shake out and be good? Well,
like, yeah.
Walls, man. What's up right. with walls?
I have a tight five about the bread and meat that my wife slides under the door for me. no, you know, I was in a pretty good groove with writing before this happened. I was getting up and on the road a lot. So I have that's, like I said, that's probably 30 to 40. And then I have a ton of ideas about, you know, the next few, I don't know, the next stage of my life that I guess, that I've kind of been cultivating and just like waiting to develop more. And then since this happened, I've got ideas that I'm kind of going through, but honestly, it's been more like Twitter jokes and social content, the podcast, stuff like that, that I've been working on. I've got a block ready to go. I just need to work it out on stage. So it's like, it's really tough for me to sit down and write stand-up jokes that I would use for my act because I really need to work that out with an audience. So I have ideas, but I don't have full on bits from it yet. You know, all of the jokes that I actually write go on Twitter at this point.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like a lot of comics are doing that. Have you done any of the live, Instagram live comedy or Zoom comedy? Have you done that? Are you interested
I haven't. If someone asked me, I'd try to, I guess I would piece it together, but it's, for me, like this medium is way more fun for me to do. I love radio. I'm a radio guy. So doing a podcast, working on my own podcast, doing others, like I'm on Carlos Mencia's every Friday night at 8 on his YouTube. That's fun. I've switched my podcast from bi-weekly to weekly, which was always the goal. But now with this home studio, it's like so much easier to do. And I could have the quality of guests I want now that everyone's home and they could just go online. So then that, like the last few we've had, Bob Levy was really fun. Seth Herzog was fun. I forget who he had, but also lined up a few more guests that I'm scrolling through now that I think are going to be a good time coming. Oh, Bobby Collins was on 3 weeks ago. So the weekly podcast, I've been doing that. Does that answer any of your questions? I feel like I'm just fucking running on.
Oh, I don't know. I haven't been paying attention to anything.
Have you been picking
I have a list of questions to ask you. Whenever you take a breath, I just ask the next one.
I feel like you're just targeting your next person in the front line.
Are you wearing? Is that someone wearing a Phillies hat out there? Oh, you're next. But anyways, we got the 5 minute warning on the Zoom. Amy, is there anything you wanted to add? I was going to bring up Kevin's podcast as he just brought it up himself.
Yeah, I think we covered everything.
Perfect. I love it.
Killing it, baby.
You're doing your podcast weekly.
Yes.
Tell everyone where they can hear it. I mean, it's a podcast, so wherever you're listening to
it. Yeah, exactly. Just scroll into if you like this episode, you also might like I should hopefully I'm in there. No, it's called Just Joking. This is a fun show. I've guested on a ton of radio shows and podcasts, and I've always wanted to do my own, but I never really felt like there was a good enough format to stand out. I feel like the long form interview's been perfected. There's nothing that I'm going to do that's any better than anyone else doing interviews right now. And then there's too many fucking fights. I'm done with the arguing and the debating on podcasts and these wars and all this shit. And it's like, let's just get back to making people laugh. So the idea of the podcast is called Just Joking. We break down what's happening in the world in terms of news, news cycles, headlines, anything that you've heard along the way. And we literally just riff on it. And it's pure jokes, pure comedy. All it takes is I usually have 10 headlines that I read one and something will pop into my head or something will pop into my guest head. And then we just go back and forth. And it's really how you write material. So that's the fun is getting to sit across from comics like, you know, Mencia, Gino Visconti, Bob Levy,
What an honor to sit across from Gina Visconti. Rare.
So Gina was the pilot because I knew that people would tune in to the two of us talking, which I needed right away. I needed a little bit of steam that people would listen to. But also, I could figure out the format with zero pressure. And then I knew with Gino, there'd be zero dead air if I didn't know where to go. So Gino is the perfect pilot. And then Artie Lang was supposed to be the second one, but he had to cancel last minute. So what I basically said was he sent a replacement and it ended up being Gino again. So every episode has a cold open where in some way or another, I shit on Gino Visconti. We are 12 episodes in, and having celebrities that that either know him or don't in some way or another make fun of Gino is really the heartbeat of what of what this podcast is. So the cold opens are my favorite to write. Those are always fun. And then it goes into headlines, and then it's, you know, it's usually an hour to an hour and a half. And it's honestly, I have so much fucking fun doing it just because it's comics being comics. We're just busting balls and joking around, and there's no agenda on it. It's just pure laughs. So if you are a comedy fan and a podcast fan, definitely tune in. I have no problem saying I think that show's hitting its groove. Yeah, I didn't trust my album, but with other people to bounce off of, I think it's good.
And how many shots of Jameson are going back and forth between those jokes?
You know, there too much? Is that a word? I don't know. There's a lot of whiskey that's involved. a lot of Shane that's also involved. Not a lot of editing, but, you know, it's a good one.
I love it. Too much whiskey, not enough editing. That's got a recipe for success all written all over.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm calling that name for my second album. There you go. Too much whiskey, not enough editing.
That's actually perfect. I love it. Well, listen, Kevin, I would love to be a guest on your podcast. Not so much to talk, just to drink with you. So, I mean,
we
can just start another Zoom right after this.
That's what I'm saying. We have less than a minute to get the party going.
Yeah, here we go. So, but hey, man, thanks for coming on. I hope you're staying safe. Tell Molly the same that we said hello, and I hope she's staying safe and all that fun jazz. Amy, anything you want to add within our last 30 seconds here?
Yeah, just make sure you're following New York Comedy Club on all our social. We do have plenty of content we're putting out during the pandemic shutdown, including obviously this one that you're listening to. We've got a new podcast called The Punch Up. We've got Roast Battle. And there's more things coming down the pike. So just make sure you're following us on your social media of choice. And also randomly, if you want to follow me on Instagram, Amy E. Hawthorne, I'm giving out free Hungarian lessons during the pandemic. Come check them out.
I got nothing on that. That's how do you sign off in Hungarian?
Sziasztok.
All right. See you later. Thanks for listening to the New York Comedy Club podcast. Make sure you like, subscribe, share, and leave a comment. And for tickets to the club, check out newyorkcomicclub.com.